Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and happy holidays. We are well into the month of December. January's coming soon. Hard to believe.
See, I think years ago, it used to be the Clatsop County Historical Society holiday dinner that was the first weekend in December was kind of the kickoff of the holiday season. And then we moved it to New Year's and then we killed it. I think it's the Nutcracker now.
It is definitely the Nutcracker.
And we are post-Nutcracker.
We are. Oh, my gosh.
So the burning question that all of our loyal listeners want to know is, who danced better, you or Mark?
Carly.
No, see, that wasn't one of the options. We know she was fantastic.
So I keep telling people, we didn't fall, and we did not attract unnecessary attention.
Unnecessary. Correct. I like that clarification.
So we blended in. We had a blast. I mean, Mark too. I mean, this was like in his wheelhouse, right? Just being up on stage and yeah. So it was fun. And then it was great. I mean, I worked backstage for all three of the shows plus dress rehearsal and just to see these young girls and young boys. And then the professional dancers too who come from the Eugene Ballet Company, they did a fantastic job. Lots and lots of hard work. I mean, it was 10 weeks of rehearsals. This is aside from dance classes. This is extra. Mm-hmm. You audition to be into the Nutcracker. So kind of cool.
Totally avoided my question though. I said, who was better, you or Mark?
I don't know. I don't know.
He's not listening. And okay. We all know you're probably better.
I'll say I worked harder at it. I watched the video over and over and over again. So how about that?
She's still not answering my question.
No. I know. Yeah.
Did you get to wear a costume too?
And
like a dress?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's 1800s and I had a fake hair bun. And they told me also right before the first show that I had to take my glasses off. That was the first time they told me. I'm like, I am blind without my glasses. Really? I don't. I mean, no rehearsal or anything. And
They didn't warn you that?
I guess they thought that I knew.
Oh.
But I definitely would have practiced without them on.
I didn't realize that the people at the Nutcracker were so keen on historical correctness.
I guess
my first living history experience where I was doing it at Old Cowtown Museum in Wichita, Kansas, that was one of the surprises. And the hardcore people like went and got glasses from the time period for their lens with their lenses in them.
Oh,
and
okay.
I would never do that. I would just go blind for a while.
Right. They don't like glasses at all because with lights, glasses don't look good either.
Oh,
so
I didn't
so there
that
were
part
period frames.
Gotcha. Just no lenses.
Yep.
Gotcha. I thought it was all about we want to be historically correct.
Well, it's really Jean the stage Peterson, thing. Peterson, and gotcha. She is an artistic director okay. to a T, celebrating the 50th next year.
I actually, when I was in Wichita, I never bothered getting correct glasses, and I would either just cheat and wear my glasses or just not wear glasses and hope I didn't have to read anything. When I was in Vermont with Ethan Allen, I was in the 1700s. I actually have a full-on costume that was made by professionals with eyeglasses on top of it.
I love
my tricorner hat and all that good stuff.
How fun.
So give or need a guy from 1790, I'm your guy.
You have it. Do you have it still?
Oh, yeah. I still have the whole costume. They handmade it for me.
Oh, Mac.
I felt very guilty.
Well, now I'm going to do something with this.
And it was only about 2 months after they completed the outfit that I announced I was resigning and moving here. And all these women that had worked on my costume were very annoyed with me.
I'm sure. Hundreds of dollars later. Yes.
And free labor. I mean, they would come in like every Wednesday afternoon and I'd stand there with my arms out and they'd measure me and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Well, let's get going because we have a guest here today. Let me introduce her real fast. We have Jess Salascio here from Warrenton joining us tonight. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We're going to talk about her and her involvement in Warrenton, how she ended up in Warrenton. And we're going to say the word Warrenton a couple more times.
Is this a drinking game I'm not aware of?
No, it's not. But we love Warrenton. My word of the day. So this is a word that's retired or an old word that we're going to bring back. This one is fi.
Fi.
Spell it.
F-I-E. F-I-E. Like fee, fi, fo, fum?
That's correct.
That's
so what does
it
mean, though? So what does that mean?
Oh, fiddly D. I think it means, you didn't even say if it was a noun or
it's
not.
An interjection.
An interjection. Oh, no.
I know. But it is that. I mean, that's correct. That's the correct usage.
I'm going to say it's when you stub your toe. I don't know.
That could, yes, that could be correct. Jess, do you have any, I mean, when you ran for office, you might have used this word, fie. It's an expression of outrage, fury, or repulsion. Fie, fi, fo, fum.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So use it in a different sentence. Because have we ever heard that word?
Fie upon you, she shouted at the driver who stole her parking spot.
Fie upon you. Hmm. And I did get a comment on last week's word from a loyal listener.
Okay.
But then we couldn't remember the word.
I know. I was just going to say.
We both agreed that it was the last drink, supposedly the last drink before you leave.
Oh.
But we both agreed.
You and I said we'd do it. We would.
We both agreed that the loyal listener and I that we liked it. But then we can't remember it.
Okay, well, we'll find that for the next show. So stay tuned.
So, hey, tomorrow night, Santa in the House returns.
Yay!
Santa in the Flavel House.
Wonderful.
So that's good fun. Starts at 6 o'clock. You got to come directly to the house.
Okay. The house, not the carriage.
Not the carriage house. It's closed. Okay. We send our employees home.
Got it.
Well, the gift shop employees, we send them home.
Yes.
I'll be there.
You don't get time
and
off.
It's cash only.
Okay.
It's just $5 a person, $2 a kid.
You can take pictures.
And we'll have candy canes, cookies, hot chocolate, and crafts for the kids. And you'll see the house at night.
Yeah.
The very first time we did this, like at least a million years ago, or like 21 years ago.
When you were here.
We had like 100 people show up the first time we ever did it. 90 of them were all adults that just wanted to see the house in the dark.
Oh, but it's, I mean, there's Christmas decorations too. Yeah.
Great. All right. We're working on music, but I haven't followed up to see if we have music, live music or not.
Oh, that would be lovely.
I should have checked before we came on the air.
Yeah. Okay.
So, let's see. Santa's also going to be up at the column on the 21st in the afternoon.
Love it.
Handing out candy canes. And then we still have tea and plum pudding every weekend. And then the 26th through the 30th.
Large party, 6 or more, can call and reserve a spot ahead of time.
Other than that, first come, first serve.
And that one, you do check in at the carriage house.
Definitely.
Get your ticket, buy your annual pass for the year, so then you get the discount. And then you get to walk back down to the, and you get to walk through the house then too, if you go to tea and pub.
Self-guided tour, docents there to answer questions, great signage, and you can dine like a Flavel.
I love it.
Maybe.
And it is family friendly. I do like to point out because, yes, it's in a museum, but my kids like to get dressed up and then it's become an annual tradition that I've made Mark do.
I love that. We're looking for new family traditions.
There you go. See, look at her. She wants to do it with her family. Yeah. And I like to do it without mine.
All right. Let's get through the big history highlights because we got a lot to talk about here. We may even talk about Warrenton, I hear.
Yes, Warrenton.
All right. So these are things, history highlights, things that happened tomorrow, December 16th. As always, icebreakers or things to possibly win bar trivia with.
Okay.
1631, Mount Vesuvius in Italy erupts, burying many villages under lava flow and killing around 3,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Mount Vesuvius.
Yeah.
We did a whole show once on before your time.
Oh, I was going to say.
On volcanoes.
Does not ring a bell. Okay.
Yeah, I referenced the famous volcanoes of history.
Yes.
I had that one, and it was on Mount St. Helens. We were basically talking about Mount St. Helens. But then I also talked about the Brady Bunch one, and nobody knew what I was talking about.
I've seen the Brady Bunch special.
It was more funny in my head than it was out loud. 1905, Variety magazine is first published to cover all phases of show business.
Okay.
And the film museum was in it like a year ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a whole cover story on filmmaking in Oregon.
Okay.
And we bought a half-page ad, and then we had like a whole thing on the film museum.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Variety magazine. All right, 1907, as a gesture of the United States' new presence as a world power, President Teddy Roosevelt sends the Great White Fleet on a round-the-world cruise visiting ports internationally. They call it the White Fleet because he painted all the battleships white.
Oh, okay.
And they basically sailed around the world like, look, we really have a big navy now.
Okay.
All right. 1908, the first credit union in the U.S. opens. Manchester, New Hampshire.
Oh, interesting.
No opinion on credit unions. All right, moving along. 1944, the Battle of the Bulge begins. The last great attempt by the Nazi Germany to not lose.
Right.
But our history highlight of the day, the thing I think had the most impact on history, 1773, the Boston Tea Party. in Boston Harbor. A group of Massachusetts colonists disguised as Mohawk Native American Indians board three tea ships and dump 342 chests of tea into the harbor.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't want to pay tea tax, and we want to have our own tea. We don't have your tea forced upon us.
Right. Lots of, yes, no so, tax.
So what'd I miss?
Well, this one barely makes it, of course, 1998.
Oh, wow. That's weird for you.
I know right. It is. But it's kind of an interesting thing because the U.S. House of Representatives recommends impeaching President Bill Clinton. It's a big deal at the time, right? I mean, impeachment.
You can't lie under oath.
It's never happened again. Like, this is what Mac likes to say. But but also on the same day, and, you know, I actually had forgotten that it was the same day, but he ordered an air attack on Iraq.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
1998, same day. So, and I didn't look deeper to see which one came first. Obviously, both were in the works, right, prior to that day.
I like to picture that maybe he got impeached, or he knew he was about to be impeached, and 5 minutes beforehand, he ordered an airstrike to distract everybody.
I mean, for the 24-hour news cycle, I mean, because it was very much present during that time period, that had quite an effect, both of That's those. Right. So.
And somebody who would never order an airstrike from Warrenton on Astoria.
Yes, true. Because she loves all of Clatsop County.
And she'll never be impeached.
Correct.
Was that a good segue?
That's on the air now, yes. It's Jess Salascio. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm glad you're here. So let's talk about you. And first of all, just introduce us to you for those of our listeners who don't.
How would people know you? Yes. Or if they don't know you, who are you?
Yeah, great question. I'm just a member of the community.
How long have you lived here?
We just celebrated 3 years in our house a couple weeks ago. So we've been Clatsop County residents for 3 years. People might know me in different capacities. I volunteer a lot.
Yes, all over.
In the community. When I first moved here, I didn't know a lot of people. So I got involved with the Master Gardener Society or Master Gardener Association because I had this dream of having a garden and being outside, and that was my first foray into the community. And then after that, I got involved with Spruce Up Warrenton. I volunteered to be on the Planning Commission, and most recently, I was elected to the Warrenton City Commission. So,
yay! Mm-hmm. We love that. More women in politics is always important.
Well, it's always a good thing.
It is a good thing. Yes.
All right. So before we get into a deeper dive, Master Gardeners.
Yes.
So where did you do your volunteer time?
In a variety of different capacities. But this past year, one thing that we are really excited about doing is bringing back the Seed to Supper program, which is a program to support individuals looking to make their own gardens at home. And it's mostly focused on people lower incomes or people that don't typically have access. So we did that at Trillium House, which is right near the Home Depot in Warrenton. And that was really exciting. And just being able to connect with other people in the community and learn and be outside and in the garden, it's just so enriching. So,
okay, I'm sorry. That was the completely wrong answer. The correct answer was you volunteered with the Flavel House Garden Society every Wednesday afternoon.
I would love to. One thing I did not know.
No, your answer was fine.
A lot of the master gardeners when I joined were retirees. And so as someone that is not a retiree that works full time, that was actually kind of challenging to find opportunities during the day to volunteer. And now the association is expanding to allow different types of people with different working styles and conditions to volunteer in different capacities. But the Flavel House is, you know, a gem in the community. And it's what type of garden? It's an English style garden.
It's 1800s.
Yeah. So.
And actually, we saw that issue as well, and they started doing every other Thursday evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know how long into the season that went. It was throughout the summer, but I don't know
if it
went into September or October or not.
I learned how to prune rhododendrons at the Flavel House.
Excellent.
Oh, there you go.
We got like 90 million of them there.
And they're gorgeous. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
They're kind of my favorite. Okay.
They are. Now we're going to go back, though. So where are you from?
I'm from Florida originally.
Okay.
And you're from Florida, right? Don't you have roots?
Well, I went to college in Florida. Okay. And then I worked in Florida, yes.
Yeah.
So I was there for a long time.
So we have to talk about where in Florida?
Yes, where. It's like three states.
Yeah. I'm from Jacksonville, which is the northern side, eastern. Went to college in Gainesville, where the University of Florida is, born and raised, and stayed there for undergrad and grad school. And then I moved to Chicago to finish my graduate studies. And while I was there, I was just enamored with being in a big city and being exposed to museums and music and being able to ride my bike on the lakeshore.
And weather.
Yes. Yeah, that's how we ended up out here. Because those Midwest winters are
brutal.
Brutal.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You went from Florida, which is one extreme, right? I mean, then to Chicago. So here it just feels calm, right?
Yeah.
Moderate.
It's a lot better balance.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what did you study? And what did you think you were going to do with your degree?
In undergrad, I was planning to pursue medicine, and I worked in a variety of different clinical settings. But the one that was most impactful, I actually worked in a clinic with children that had HIV and AIDS. And I realized at the time, working with those kids, the families had a lot of other things going on. You know, they didn't always make it to clinic because they didn't know if their car was going to break down or if they were going to be scheduled for a shift for their work. And it was really hard for those families to do what they needed to get their kids healthy. And I realized I could not work in that type of capacity, but I still wanted to figure out how to help people. And I always felt this drive to just, we're here for more than we know. And so being able to give back to the community is really important to me. And so I stumbled into public health. And at the time I was really, I loved reading like Freakonomics and Dan Ariely and Nudge. I loved all the pop science, behavioral science books and cognitive psychology. And I was like, okay, what can we do with this? How can we understand how people make decisions? And then bring that to medicine. Public health was like a perfect mix of all of that. So I went to Chicago and I worked in school health policy, learning about, you know, all the things that it takes at that level. And it's challenging
but
fascinating and heart-wrenching and all the things that you would expect. And after that, I realized this is also really hard. And then I went into startups because I wanted to be able to move really quickly to help people. Working in policy, it doesn't always move at the speed where you feel like you're having impact. And so I was like, okay, startups, you can move really fast. You can learn quickly. You can implement. You can be exposed to new ideas. And that was where I spent most of my career until I ended up out here.
So how did you find Astoria and Warrenton? And how did you How did you get here?
It is really roundabout. So after 6 or 7 brutal winters in Chicago, my husband and I were looking for a different place to put down roots. He got a job offer in San Francisco. I got one in Seattle. And so we ended up in Seattle. I know. And then the pandemic hit. And so we were in Seattle and we were like, oh, what do we do with our lives now? Like, we can't go outside our 500 square foot studio apartment. We don't have friends or family here. And we decided to move to Alaska. You know, just wait out the pandemic. We were both remote at the time. So my in-laws are in Alaska and we moved up there anticipating we'd be there for 6 weeks. We were there for 8 months.
Oh, wow.
And then we were like, okay, now we really have to figure out what we're doing with our lives. We moved back to Seattle because I was supposed to go back to the office. And then, of course, that changed. And so we were trying to figure it out. And we kept exploring different areas in the Pacific Northwest. We came down here. My husband, Dan, surfed. And I got to experience Fort Stevens and bike around. And I was like, this is a really beautiful, special place. Like, we have to figure out how we can make this our home. And we did everything we could to find a place. And then we moved down here, 3 years ago. And the rest is history.
So how do you find you're in Seattle? How do you decide, hey, we're going to go spend a weekend in Clatsop County?
We just kept expanding our radius. So we explored a little bit of Eastern Washington. We explored Tacoma and Gig Harbor. And then we kept just driving a little bit further each time. And we went down to Cannon Beach. That was the furthest that we had gone. And just during that time, we were just trying to see as much as possible because we were also in a situation where we had to re-sign our lease. And like, oh, what are we going to do? Like,
so clock's ticking.
Yeah. Yeah. So no pressure.
Right. But that's quite a change, though. I mean, also size-wise, this has to be the smallest community.
It is.
And then Warrenton itself, too. Yeah.
Which has been quite an adjustment, but so beautiful in many different ways.
And how have you adjusted to that, and your husband, too?
Yeah. I love it because I feel like you run into the same people in many different ways. And living in this town, I realized how much of an extrovert I actually am and how much I love being with people. I also love being in a small community and feeling like you have impact. I had never had any interest really in politics when I was living in Chicago or Seattle. But here it's like you can actually – I can walk to City Hall and I can have a conversation that leads to something beautiful for our community. And that is really, really special. It's a different chapter. It's a different type of life, but we've been loving it.
And what are you doing now? What's your job?
My job, what I get paid for. No.
Tell us one of your jobs.
Well, rounding this all out. So I worked in startups. And when Silicon Valley Bank went under, my startup also had some financial challenges. So I got laid off. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know. And a woman in the community that I knew, she's like, hey, there's this opportunity with the local real estate association. They need someone that can, you know, do a lot of different things, wear a lot of different hats. And I was like, that's what I did in startups. Like, I could figure this out. And that's what I do. It's like a part-time job. So I work with the Clatsop Association of Realtors as my day job. And then in my spare time, we are redeveloping the Fenton Grocery Building. And that's been really exciting.
It's beautiful on the outside already. So tell us what's going to be inside.
We're going to keep the housing upstairs. So there's 7 apartment units upstairs. And then on the downstairs, we're going to add a coffee shop and a third place for people to gather in the community. And the middle will be smaller micro enterprise places for small entrepreneurs to set up shop. We feel like there's kind of a dearth of those opportunities in Warrenton, and people do a lot of really amazing, cool things in Warrenton. Like, they have bees and they have cut flowers and they, you know, we have a lot of really amazing artisans, and I would love to provide a space for them to set up. And then the other third will be a play studio for kids. So I have a 3.5-year-old and a 1-year-old. And finding places for them to hang out in the rainy season has been challenging. So this is going to be a really nice place to go for families. Yeah.
Now, is the coffee shop going to be, you rent it to somebody that runs the coffee shop, or are you running the coffee shop?
We are going to run the coffee shop.
Okay. And, and the other spaces as well?
No. So the play studio we'll rent out. It's called Frolic and Lark, and it's by a woman in the community. And then the other micro enterprises we will also rent out to the artisans and entrepreneurs or whoever wants to come in.
And how much work does that building need?
a lot. Every week it's like a new invoice comes in. It's quite substantial. There's a lot of structural work that needs to be done. It's been uninhabited for a couple years now. So there's, you know, water damage, there's things that need to be addressed, but it's such a staple in our community, and it could bring in so much life to downtown. There's a lot of potential.
Well, that location is key, right? I mean, and we used to have Serendipity across the street, that cafe, and now we have the food cart pods, which are very popular. I feel like that gets lots of foot traffic and people are able to easily park. And then the library too, right? I mean, it's just busy, but it's so tiny. So that extra spot just right there will be key. I mean, and it's right next to a laundromat, right next to a mini mart. I mean, there's just so many different aspects that'll just make it fit really well.
And the river trail.
Yes, that's true.
It's right there. I feel like it's so underutilized. And so providing people a pathway to nature.
Gonna be good.
So what on earth made you want to run for city council?
Yeah, what on earth? I like that question.
Well, I was on the planning commission and I was having a great time. And, you know, that doesn't get a lot of attention or optics. And then we had a city commissioner step down. And so there was an opportunity to have like kind of a test case, you know, see what this is like before really jumping in. And I was appointed to the city commission in July. And then because of that, I was like, oh, this is actually really exciting and something that is fulfilling. And I would like to do this a little bit longer. And so my husband was super supportive, and he's really interested in politics, which I feel like he's the one that should have run because he's way smarter than I am. And Yeah. So it just kind of fell into place. And I feel like that's how this whole, like a lot of things, like the Fenn Grocery Building, ending up out here, things have just been falling into place and just trying to see an opportunity and go for it if the time is right and it feels like it should happen.
So talk a little bit about, I mean, if you and your husband are political junkies, it's not going to be a total shock to you. But I think a lot of people think like, oh, if I was the mayor or if I was this, I could just change things instantly. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, A, people realize how much goes into making changes. And then also, I don't think people realize how much work it is to do what you're doing. That it's not just you show up to a meeting once a week or once every week. You've got all these packets you have to read. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. And I love this question because I think the Fenn Grocery Building will also provide a place for civic life because democracy is a responsibility and we all have a part to play in making our communities better. And it is a lot. I have my packet with me actually for the upcoming city commission. It's 60 pages. And on top of that, I need to go back and look at some other data because you go in and you want to make the best decision possible for your community. And there's a lot of trade-offs. And yeah, a lot of people think it's very easy and very straightforward. But when you're working in a community like ours that's coastal, that's rural, that doesn't have access to the same type of resources as other places, you have to make tough decisions sometimes. And I think that's the beauty of having other people and other perspectives, because a lot of times when we're up there, you know, Commissioner Dyer has a certain perspective and Commissioner Poe. And so we're able to bounce ideas off of each other to reach the best conclusion to hopefully serve our community in the best way possible and meet the needs of the people.
And you say fell into place, but I do want to give her some credit here because she ran a election campaign and she had to run against somebody. I mean, you had an opponent, so that's not falling into place. That was you, boots to the ground, going out and meeting people. And what was that like? Just cold knocking on doors.
It's campaigning is a lot. Yeah. I loved meeting people. And I think that's what, quote unquote, like fills my cup is like meeting other people and hearing people's stories and seeing, you know, where we meet in the middle and what we want for our community and inviting people in. I love that. When it comes to campaigning, I'm like, can I ask for your vote or right. can I ask for a donation? Like that feels not great to me. And I think that's a lot of what keeps people out of politics is like this transactional type of feeling. But at the end of the day, it is about relationships and serving your community. And I loved meeting people. It was great.
How many old cranks did you meet?
Oh,
that said, get away. You could close their door.
Quite a few. That was a little discouraging. But then, you know, you would meet someone like that and then you would go knock on the next door and they'd be so appreciative to talk to you. So okay, give and take.
So we got about 30 seconds left. So you got little kids. What do you like to do for fun when you're not rehabbing old buildings, opening businesses, running for office, and being on the city commission? What do you like to do for fun?
Yeah, beach. We love to go to the beach. My son loves to just bolt into the water and look at the birds. And that's our favorite place to be, watch the sunset as a family and have a bonfire. So we're grateful to be in such a beautiful community.
That's great. We're so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us. And happy holidays to everybody out there.
And what I like about this really fast is some people move to this community, Warrington, Astoria, and they're like, I don't know how to get involved. And you just did it in 3 years. And
yeah.
Threw yourself in. And that's amazing. And if you do try, people welcome you.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.